Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle with Tracy Myers and Charlie Roumeliotis from CSNChicago.com. Welcome, Charlie.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you. We're going to that's the first start to a great podcast. We'll get into it in just a second, but you can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all their sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. And be sure to subscribe to the Hawks Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts or visit our website, csnchicago.com/podcast. All right, let's start with the trading of Scott Darling to Carolina last week for a third-round pick. Scott was going to be a UFA on July 1st. Tracy, you surprised by this move?
I was surprised only the fact that it happened as quickly as it did. We talked last week. I was not going to be surprised that he was gone. He deserves a first or number one goaltending opportunity. It was not going to happen here. Most likely wasn't going to happen here, so I was not surprised it happened. But when you see that come across your phone at 6:30 on a Friday night, that part surprised me. But, obviously this is a team that was looking to get something out of this. If you're going to lose Darling, you'd like to get something. So another pick added to the pot this year.
And so, Charlie, when we look at what Stan can do with this roster going forward, there was thought that maybe if you're trying to save a couple million, that you would approach Scott, see if he would take maybe a discount. Maybe he would do it for $3.75 million. And you would move Corey Crawford. Well, obviously, moving Darling now takes that off the table. And moving Crawford is now not going to be an option.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of people were, at first, when the trade happened, it was, why didn't they get more for him? And I don't think people realize that they traded his negotiating rights, right? They didn't actually get full value back for Darling himself. So, I thought they would explore that avenue only because of the first round exit. If Corey ended up taking them deep in another deep spring, I mean, then you obviously, you would be like, okay, well, Corey took us far again. Like we have the pieces in place. We're not going to blow up a lot, but I thought they might explore that avenue, but, good for Scott Darling. I mean, he's going to have a chance to, go get paid and also be the number one.
And it's an amazing story. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about the Darling story, because what are you going to remember him most by? Is it going to be that 2015 first round game against Nashville where he comes in relief of Corey, makes 42 saves, and the Hawks win it in double overtime, and then he ends up winning three of the games in that series, and then he gets replaced by Corey? Or is it going to be simply his comeback story altogether, like the 12 teams mm-hmm. in 5 years on teams you've never heard of? You didn't even think they played hockey in these parts of the country. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing story. So what will you remember most?
If I want to pick one moment, it would actually be an off-ice moment. It would be when we were up at the White House and you had then President Obama pointing out Scott Darling for the pay it forward move that he did when I believe it was a homeless man in Arizona.
Yep.
And he funded the man a hotel for a month. And first of all, just to see that sheepish look on Darling's face of, oh God, I'm getting called out by the president, was fantastic. But here was a guy who realized everything he had been through, who's come out the other side, is making a career and is still continuing that. Life has been good to him, and he wanted to say, listen, I've got a chance to help someone else out like somebody helped me out all those years ago. And it was just a beautiful moment.
Charlie, what will you remember most about the Scott Darling era here in Chicago?
Yeah, so Tracy obviously covered the off the ice. On the ice, I mean, you got to go to that first round in 2015. I mean, how many backup goalies can say they don't win a Stanley Cup if I don't play that. You know, Scott Darling can always say the Blackhawks don't get out of that first round without him. So when they did end up winning the Stanley Cup that year, it's not like it was just a backup goalie. You know, he was had the cup over his head skating, you know, on the ice. And, it, you know, he had a huge hand in that, and they don't get out of that without him. So he can always, you know, like Marc-Andre Fleury last year in Pittsburgh, I think he played in one game, and he was awful in that in the Stanley Cup run. So they won. It was kind of, you know, he didn't have a big hand in that. So obviously this year is different. But, yeah, that first round for sure.
Okay, we also had the bizarre story last week where Artemi Panarin spoke to a Russian reporter. Yeah. And I think there was something lost in translation here.
Yeah, it's a tough language.
But I will read just a couple of the quotes here. And this is the bread man on losing to the Predators. It was not easy to go the best shape for the playoff time. We played 17 games in the last month of the regular season. This was really hard. And playoffs started in a few days. I felt I was not in the best shape and didn't have enough strength. So, let's go back to that. Remember, the Hawks had wrapped up the top seed with a week or so, a little over a week to go in the regular season, and they were beginning to sit starters down the stretch, and they kind of took turns. But the thought was, they were going to let Panarin, because he was hanging in that 9-10 spot in scoring for forwards, which he needed to be in the top 10 to get that $1.7 million bonus, that they were doing him a solid by letting him play so that he could earn that.
Yeah.
So what did you make of this story?
It was a bit strange. And like you said, you never know if there was something a little lost there, because the same thing happened last year, too, where they played him to the end of the regular season, got the bonus thanks to his game in Columbus. And then I thought he was pretty good in the series against St. Louis. 2 goals, 5 assists, something like that in those 7 games. So I'm not sure what exactly happened between one year to the other. I don't think it was a tremendous difference. So for this year not to supposedly be in shape compared to last year, I'm not sure I get that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of how long the KHL season is compared to the NHL. Is it similar?
It's in the 60s. Yeah.
Okay, so
they
mean,
do tournaments and everything too.
Right.
So
and he's playing Worlds, right?
Yeah.
So here's the other thing.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
that's actually a good point.
By the way, you know, why
not
are you playing
tired
in Worlds then?
and he played in the World Cup too before, I mean, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. But I mean, yeah, because you look at, like, Austin Matthews in Toronto. Like, this is his first full season. Like, this is, like, the most hockey he's ever played. So I didn't know if it was that cooking. But, I mean, the one thing that did jump out at me, too, is that he wasn't strength-wise, which I understand, because obviously throughout the course of the season, your weight's going to go down. I mean, you're not building strength at that point. You're just trying to stay, you know, fit. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what his off-season workout will be. I don't know.
Well, last year he did a lot of MMA-type stuff in the off-season, and I thought he got stronger.
Yeah.
I thought he was stronger on the puck. I thought you could notice the difference physically from year one to year two, which I thought was encouraging. Look, I think the Hawks would have gladly said, hey, you want to rest a couple days and we can save 1.7 on a cap strap situation for the 2017-18 season? Go right ahead.
Yeah.
So, you know, next time we have an opportunity to talk to Stan, I mean, I think that'll be one thing that I try to find out is what was the conversation like down the stretch of the season about rest versus letting him go for the bonus.
Yeah.
As we watch these Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'll use both the Nashville Blues series and the Washington Pittsburgh series. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys go flying into the net, literally the net, dislodging the net from its moorings and sending it into the corner or behind the net. We talk about going to tough areas, and that's probably why Sidney's in a concussion state right now, because he was in a tough area. And that's a different the conversation for a different podcast. But I can't remember how many times I saw the one Hawk do that in that brief 4-game series against Nashville. To me, when I look at what I'm watching now and the teams that are still alive and what I did and did not see from the Hawks in that first round, it's pretty noticeable. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm trying to think. The last time I remember a Blackhawks player flying into the net was when Ponick ended up in there. And who
was right, they had to score the was it Panarin?
Yeah, it was Panarin. Scored a goal
right,
off his head or
yes.
something
like that. Panic got an assist off his head.
Yes. Yeah, he was still more mad about the cross. Yeah. Got cross-checked. But the point is yeah, that was the Blackhawks up until the end. That's what they were doing, you know, and Ponick was one of the big guys who did that. And Anisimov before he got hurt, that was terribly missing. So, no, there's no doubt. I mean, the you know, if you want to use the word gumption, that's what you got to have at this time of year. And we'd seen the Blackhawks have that before. Why it wasn't there this year is the thing that's still mind-boggling. That's the thing that I don't understand. But it was absolutely missing. And you're reminded of that every time you do watch these series right now.
Yeah, and I think that's what... You know, obviously when they got rid of Andrew Shaw in the offseason, that's a guy that, Joel Quenneville loved him, especially on the power play. He would just be a pest in front of the goalies. But, you know, that's also, it's also kind of a give or take, right? Because Brian Bickle also a few years ago, God bless him, you know, he it's either that or you overpay for that contract and then it's hard to get out of. So
yeah.
I think it's more about the current roster, like guys like Ryan Hartman and Anisimov. Those are the guys that need to step up and fill those roles. The Blackhawks aren't going to go sign a $4 million guy like Andrew Shaw got just to go stand in front of the net. You know, you need those entry level and just those bottom six contributors to step up in that role.
Yeah, I think in theory that's what you would like. But I think upon further review, And we talked about this on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. There's a difference, clear difference between a regular season game and a postseason game.
Totally.
And the time and space that Panarin and Patrick Kane have to do what they do in the regular season is much more different than it is in the postseason.
Sure.
And if you look across the table, a majority of these goals are, if they're not on a redirection by somebody in front, it's a screen that's playing a vital role. It's a guy going hard to the net that maybe drew the penalty that led to the power play tally.
Yeah.
And I think, Charlie, they're going to have to find money to go land that type of player. And that's why when we're talking about saving $2 million here with a goalie or, you know, $3 million with a defenseman or you know, Kruger goes or what have you, like, I think they're going to have to do it. I think the $800,000-$900,000 guy, hoping that he's going to be that guy without the track record or the resume that shows it, is going to be playing with fire, kind of like what they did this past postseason.
I guess to a point, but, you know, when the Blackhawks first got Andrew Shaw, you know... He was that guy.
Right.
He was that unproven guy. He was just nuts. And you got to be.
Right.
You got to be a little off to hurl yourself to the net. It's a mindset. It's what we were talking about last week. And, you know, regardless of whether, you know, you're one of the young guys, but certainly if you're one of the older guys, you know what it takes in the postseason. You know, and if you need a reminder of that, then... You know, a lot of these guys are in some trouble because, you know, so I understand what you're saying. And listen, if you can find that guy, you get him. But, you know, the Blackhawks have found those guys in the past. And Andrew Shaw was that guy that came out of nowhere a couple years ago and did it. So you've got to find that person who's got the heart and the willingness to absolutely do that.
Yeah, that's why what you said, Charlie, was Joel said he was irreplaceable. That wasn't that the
right,
word
that's
he
exactly,
used? Irreplaceable.
That's the word.
Yes.
When Joel said that, I mean, we all speak Q. That was pretty obvious where he stood on Andrew Shaw. And it also, and back to the Brian Bickle, it's also a reflection of what you have in the system. Like the Hawks lack, you know, the cup winning teams have been, to me, the identity's been all world talent, surrounded by a couple, and I mean a couple, of grinders,
mm-hmm.
guys that are willing to pay that price.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what we saw this year was the all-world talent that didn't play to all-world talent level, or maybe was tired or whatever, but we didn't see that other component. And I think that's what we need to find, or Stan needs to find going forward.
Yeah, and I completely agree. But I was, so my point was, I don't even know if this was, if he was actually a viable option, but Marty Hanzel was a guy that the Blackhawks, you know, potentially could get at the trade deadline. I mean, he was a disaster for Minnesota in the playoffs. Yeah. So, I mean,
Brian Boyle might have been an
Right, you know, exactly. Brian Boyle is a guy
like that's a guy could win faceoffs, you know, proven guy in the postseason. You know, I don't, am I going to rely on him for 82 games to be, whatever, but like, I would have rented him.
Right. Like, I mean, yeah, like you pay for Brian Boyle for the postseason, not the regular season, right? So, I mean, so a guy like Hanzel, I mean, that would have taken, Minnesota paid a heavy price to get him.
Sure.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to overpay for a guy just so he can stand in front of the net. You would rather get a Brian Boyle that can actually play solid minutes when it comes time, you know, in the playoffs. Like, you're, it doesn't really matter what he does in the regular season, but in the playoffs, that's what you get him for. And he wouldn't cost much, too.
Right. On a future podcast, we will get into the expansion draft, who we think they're going to expose, maybe try to figure out how that's all going to shake out. But it's been over a week now since Mike Kitchen was let go. Obviously, well chronicled his relationship with Joel, best of friends, been together for a long time. Going forward now in picking his replacement, how do you see that going down in those four walls at 1901 West Madison?
Well, what should happen? Yeah. I think Joel Quenneville has to make that decision. You know, I mean, the coaches are around each other all the time when a season starts. It's 24/7. You have got to be with somebody that you want to work with, that you can work with. It's almost like a line or a defensive combination. You need the right chemistry. So I think it has to be his decision. And I mean, all around, whether it actually is or not, I don't know, but I think it absolutely has to be his.
Yeah. I think it's gotta be both guys trying to agree on one person. And I don't even know, Kevin Dineen is probably going to be around. I know there was some talk that he might get a job with, you know, Colorado when that job opened up and things like that. But it sounds like, so that's, they could potentially be looking at two replacements, but it seems like Dineen's going to stay at least for now. Yeah. But I do think it has to be a collaborative effort. I mean, it didn't, obviously from the reports, it didn't sound like Quenneville was very on board with the firing of Mike Kitchen, but it needs to be, it can't just be Bowman hiring his replacement as well. It's gotta be a message sent throughout the organization, but you also have to come together to make a decision on the assistant coach.
Look, I think the emotions were pretty raw in those 48 hours after being ushered out in four games. Yeah. I think you could tell that Stan was a different guy that we had not seen before. I think the players, when they came into the room, some of them have been chewed out, and they, their body language spoke to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Joel was not happy. I mean, I think a couple weeks away and to kind of decompress a little bit and try to revalue, you know, take a look at the team as a whole and kind of reassess the situation and maybe cooler heads of prevail. Yeah. I do believe it will be a group decision. I do think Q should have the loudest voice.
Sure.
But I'm getting the sense that, you know, I think it might be, I'm guessing it might lean more towards Stan. Just the way that the tone and the fact that, you know, Q probably didn't want Kitchen to be ushered out.
I think what the Blackhawks need to remember, and like you said, this comes with cooler heads and kind of getting everything back in check, is remembering what's worked over the last couple of years is give and take. I don't know anybody on this planet, and I said this on radio the other day, that worker and boss got along 100% of the time and agreed on everything. That's impossible. It doesn't happen. But it's recognizing that give and take of, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. And realizing, okay, we got to work together. We got to collaborate to do this. When the Blackhawks did that, beautiful things happened. They had tremendous success. If you get a divide going and, it has to be my way or it has to be mine, that's going to lead to a lot of discord at best. And then that's just a terrible way to go about it.
Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bowman obviously made it pretty clear that he was going to, he wanted to start doing things his way after the, you know, letting go of Mike Kitchen. And I think the roster construction, too. I think we can all agree that the roster construction is kind of needs more. It's more,
yeah, it
it's more
was
about
more
the
that than it was coaching.
Coaching.
I don't blame the LaFleur game loss. Right. I mean, we can pick a couple things apart on maybe what they could have done differently. But by and large, I don't think coaching was their problem.
Right. Let me throw this to you guys. I want to see where you guys stand. Do you guys think something is happening here where Bowman is, you know, Bowman obviously he signed Brian Campbell and traded for Andrew Ladd last year and traded for Oduya. Do you think he was, you know, because a lot of people are criticizing him for making those moves, but do you think it was more tailoring to Quinville's needs? Or, you know, because then, you know, Bowman goes out and gets Thomas Yurko, or he signs going way back. But like Nick Leddy, like those were like Bowman guys. Those were puck movers, but obviously Quinville. So Bowman was forced to trade them out of Quinville's necessity, you know. So do you think we have something of that operating here?
Well, I think it's a working relationship, and I'm sure there are preferences on both sides of the ledger. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to find some common ground.
Right.
And I also think, and I think John McDonough said, it's good to have dissenting voices in a room, you know? I don't think you want a bunch of yes men right. And one person, because if that person is not making all the right decisions, you're in trouble.
Right.
Like, take Johnny Oduya, for example. I think both sides were very much on board. I think
with him, yes.
Joel wanted a veteran defenseman he could trust to put in the top four. And I think Stan was ready to pull the trigger on it. So, like, for big things like that, I think they were in lockstep. Mm-hmm. I think right now, like, and you mentioned the Yurkos and the Panics and Hayden and all these other. I mean, if you look at the, they were looking for a big forward that had some edge to their game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to Panic's credit, you know, he has brought that, but was it at a level you need to win playoff series? Probably not. And there was 11 other forwards that didn't have it either. But they were looking for that guy, and I don't think they found them yet, those types of players.
At least consistently.
Consistently. Right.
Well, yeah, and that's what they were trying to do with Ladd last year. And again, you know, I've talked about going back to the well, and unfortunately that well is dry. I don't think they need to do it again. But it looked like a great idea at the time, and that was a guy I think they could both agree on who could bring that edge in the past. It just wasn't there last year.
Tracy, how can people follow you?
Trey Myers, CSN. I hope that's right.
And Charlie Rumeliotis, how can people follow you?
At C Rumeliotis. Good luck
and
spelling
spell
it.
That out for them.
CRUMELIOTIS.
All right, great stuff.
Pat, how can we follow you?
CSN Boyle.
Very easy last name.
Yep, you can follow me there. And we'll catch up with you guys down the road on the next podcast, and we'll get into the expansion draft, the Vegas team, who the Hawks are going to protect, who will likely go. We'll get into that on a future podcast. Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. And be sure to subscribe to the Hawks Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts or visit our website, csnchicago.com/podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.